Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, hi there, hi there. Dr. Copertino here for the Hour of Power and the Power from God Show. That's a new title just for today because people are running all over the world looking for power, trying to kill others for power, trying to bomb other countries and their neighboring states and cities for power. But welcome, welcome, welcome. We're going to show that power only comes from on high, and it comes from God. And once he gives you that power, none can check your hand. None can take your place. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dr. Copertino Show, Hour for Power and Hour of Power. Let's have a word of prayer. God, help us in the name of Jesus to be more like you. We come praying not for big houses and fancy cars, not for freezers and refrigerators just tumbling over with food and drink, but we come because we know you are the one and only source of our supply, and that without you, we are nothing. Without you, there's no need to eat or drink. Without you, we have no power. Without you, there's no glory. Hallelujah, God, and we thank you for that knowledge. We thank you that you've left us alive one more day to show up and show out and tell the world that you live. And because of you, we have our living and our being. Thank you, Father, for all you've done this week, for all you've done all of our life, and for that which is to come. The Bible says that the good and perfect gifts come down from above. Send your gifts, hallelujah. Send your gifts in the name of Jesus. And we'll stay on our feet and on this battlefield until he comes again. Thank you, God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a lot of people are saying, I'm about to lose my mind. I'm going crazy. I don't know how I'm going to make it one more day. I don't know why I should. They're saying, God, please, somebody up there, you, someone, God, help, please. They're saying, are you there? Are you there? Well, we know you're there. Even though it seems like there's no relief from bad luck, bad breaks, bad relationships, bad children, bad spouses, and just bad broke down situations. My goodness, is there any relief? Many say, hey, they didn't ask to come here. And while that may be true, someone or some force had you in mind for work that he could not do, only you could do. When mom and dad laid down and you were conceived, millions of sperm went on and died. But you swam strong, strong little sperm, strong little thing. You swam to the target egg and boom, now here you are, thinking you're all messed up and just living in a mess. Well, you're going to hear 10 ways today to help stop this madness and recover for a life of victory and of life and a life of making God's heart glad and happy in your life, a life of victory. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tell your friends we're here every Saturday, 8 a.m. to 8:30. We call it the Hour of Power because really I'm praying 30 minutes before I get on this line. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now listen. I know you or someone you know might be saying, I'm going through hell. I've been through hell. I'm living in hell. I thought I was coming out of hell when I accepted the Lord and Jesus Christ as my Savior. I thought everything was going to be better. I thought because God knew in his heart and I knew in my heart that I'd given my hand to him for his purpose here on earth and that things were going to be smoother. I was already dead in hell. And I heard the name Jesus, and someone said that he came down through 42 generations. He did just what he said he was going to do. He walked amongst mean men, went all the way to Golgotha after healing the blind, raising the dead, went all the way to that mount and allowed himself to be crucified. But he got up, Bible says, parts 3 days later, took that redemption blood power, hallelujah, back to God in heaven. And here we are, not stuck in oblivion, But now we can face God in prayer. Couldn't do it before that blood sacrifice. If we did, we was talking in thin, into thin air. But because of Jesus Christ, we're accepted now to the fold of the sons of God, no matter what Adam and Eve did. Yes, he messed up. Threw the woman under the bus. But God didn't leave him guiltless. Hallelujah. He said, this day, you're going to perish. But now here we are. Here we are wondering, well, what is this thing all about? I've done everything I know to do. I'm going to church. I'm tithing. I'm just doing everything I can and that I know is good and pleasant for others and to make sure in the lives of others I'm a blessing. But I'm going crazy. And if you don't do something, hey, this is it. Cut. I check out of here. And then you'll have just one less person to raise hands and say, for God I live, for God I die. So right now, for all of those out there that are saying, you know, it's not worth it. I'm sick of this. I'm out of here. Never should have came here. Everything I've done is turned to dust. My neighbor next door, everything he touches turns to gold. Here I sit. Well, here's one reason why you might feel that way. You know, a lot of people say, my mommy didn't love me. My daddy didn't care. My sisters and brothers hated me. And they never found out how damaging that would be until later on in life when they tried to get jobs and tried to maintain their household, tried to take care of their children, tried to maintain good relationships. Everything seemed to go sour. And it's because coming up as a child, we probably heard all those negative things. Oh, I don't love you. I don't care about you. Get somewhere and sit down. Shut up. You can be seen, but you better keep your mouth shut. No, you can't have that. No, you can't have this. I know people like that, rejected on every front. So when a person feels rejected as a child, rejected as a teenager, not being given the things that they thought they desired or wanted, that's a form of rejection. And when people grow up and move out of those evil circumstances and try to set up on their own, that unconscious element of rejection is still there. Well, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to try because it's not going to work. I ain't going to never be nothing anyway. I'm never going to have nothing. Why'd I keep trying? Those are bad signals. Bad signals. Bad signals from years, decades earlier. That I'm not going to be nothing, I'm not going to have nothing, I'm not going to amount to anything, I'm not going to make anybody's life happy, I'm not going to be wanted in anyone else's life. And until we ask God to turn off those negative emotions, we're going to be stumbling here in the dark. Yes, God is there. God is listening. God is a prayer hearing God. God truly does care, or you'd be laying dead. He didn't have any use for you. Or your life, you'd be laying dead. Think about it. But somehow these old negative emotions is trailing you like a hidden walking curse. Now you can ask God, God, examine me. Take me back. I renounce. I revoke anything that my mother, father, ancestor, anybody has said that would make me feel worthless. Because once a person feels worthless, everything he does is not going to amount to anything. And then guess what? We're going to end up blaming God. So number one, we've got to ask God to help us revoke any forms of rejection in our lives. Anything that anyone has ever held back from us. Maybe our good. Maybe some clothes that belong to us. Maybe some money that they were supposed to pay us and never gave it to us and said you're not going to get it. Whatever you did for that was worth nothing. So all forms of rejection, we've got to ask God to reveal what the nature of prior rejections and rejection was. And then God help us overcome it. For every form of rejection, just say, I forgive them. I forgive them. And then say, Satan, get behind me. Rejection number two, I forgive them. I forgive them for that. Satan, get behind me. Sit down with a pen and paper and write down every form of rejection you can think of. things that you wanted but you couldn't get. They wouldn't let you have it. Places you wanted to go, they said no. Rejection, rejection. So as you go on in life, you're rejecting everything, including God, by your thoughts and by your behavior. Say, rejection, Satan, get behind me. Number two, here's another way that you can put a stop to these feelings that are making you think God is not there, and that is just making you feel worthless and bad, like, I don't know what's going on here. You've got to stand and say, stop it. That's right. Two words, stop it. And then you can add this, in the name of Jesus, stop it. Stop it. I'm alive. The millionaire is alive. The goat herder is alive. The homeless man and woman is alive. We all have a purpose. Just say, stop it. Stand and say, stop it, in the name of Jesus. My God has promised me everything that I need for this life. So stop it. I'm going to wait on God. Yes, everything around me is going crazy. Yes, I don't know if I'm going or coming. But whoever and whatever this is, stop it. In the name of Jesus, stop it. Stop. That's all you've got to do. There's some magic in those words. There's some Holy Ghost power in those words. Just stand and say, stop it. Kids throwing things all through the house. Husband telling stories, I'll be in, and he doesn't show up. Mother calling you, saying that you owe more time. Children stopping speaking over unpaid telephone, cell phone bill. Just say, stop it. Stop it. I'm about to lose my... Stop it. And go get in the Word. Just open it up and start reading. You don't have to know it from Genesis to Revelation. But just say, stop it. Put your mind on God. Get on top of God. Get underneath God. But just say, stop it. Another way that you can stop this madness, this feelings of worthlessness and feeling that I'm going out of my mind, just say, God, I'm going to sit down on you right now. And go do that. Get on that couch or get in that chair and say, Lord God, until you infuse me with your Holy Ghost power, I'm going to sit down on you. That's right. God has said, get up and work. Be ye doers of my Son. But when you're getting these feelings, you can't do that. Just go and sit down. Find that chair. Sit down and cross your leg and say, here I am. I'm not going to move till you touch me. I'm not going to move till you send your Holy Ghost power. I'm not going to move until I hear a word. Send me any kind of word. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Any kind of word. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it sounds like. Send me a word, any kind of word. But until you do, I'm going to sit down on you. I'm not going to move. Number four, you might want to also think about taking out a piece of white paper, writing on that everybody that you owe, ever owed, dreamed that you would not owe, everybody that you made a promise that was broken, every contract that you had, that you signed, that you couldn't fulfill. Get it on a piece of white paper. Just start writing. Just start writing. Just start. Go all the way back until you were a child. Go back to childhood. Just start writing. You might need more than one piece of paper, but just start and stop with that one. Get it all out. A lot of people don't realize unresolved debt. I'm going to say it again, unresolved debt. The guilt behind unresolved debt can make a person think they're going out of their mind. They don't know why. No wonder you're not able to go in the mall and buy what you want. You got guilt over unresolved debt. No matter, things is just looking down and not looking up for you. You're walking around with unresolved debt. No wonder Satan is throwing everything at you but the kitchen sink. And he's thinking about doing that. You're walking around with unresolved debt. Well, okay, you're going to say, what can I do? I can't pay it. Why am I writing it down? Why am I doing this? Number one, you're calling it to remembrance so that you can go to God with the paper in your hand and say, here it is. I owe them. I can't pay them. I don't have it. God, I've got it out of my system. There's no need of me walking around guilty. Those that I can send a dime to, I'll do that. But this unresolved debt, these chains that it has on me, no wonder I can't get ahead because I'm dragged down by unresolved debt. Unresolved debt. Tell God, hey, pay it. Pay it. I can't go forward in your name with this debt hanging over me. Yes, I was a fool. Yes, I was foolish. Yes, I shouldn't have got debt laden. Your word says that. The borrower is slave to the lender. But I've learned. Pay it, God. Pay it forward. I'm going to get in the march behind you and your son. I'm going to start walking more fully and upright in the footsteps of your son. Pay this. This unresolved debt, pay it up. Pay it up. I'm going to stay in your service. I'm not asking you for a paycheck every week. I'm asking you to resolve this unresolved debt in my life so that when I step out, people will know that I'm real. They'll know that I mean business for you, God. They'll know that I'm a real footstep follower of your son. They're going to get saved. They're going to get the anointing. They're going to get Holy Ghost power. Put a checkmate on my unresolved debt. I plead forgiveness over my creditor. I plead forgiveness over this unresolved debt. I send forth peace, love, and joy. That's all I have. And that's coming out of my mouth because I'm still alive to talk. But this unresolved debt, put a check on this. Another thing we can do, pick up that phone and tell somebody I'm sorry. I'm going out of my mind. I don't know what I'm going to do today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. But right now, I'm going to call somebody. Everybody owes somebody a word of forgiveness. I'm going to call somebody and ask for their forgiveness. And then I'm going to give some forgiveness. I'm going to get out of this chokehold right now because I'm going out of my mind. And God, I'm blaming you. Now you got to come on forward because I've been talking about you. I've been telling people that you live and you live in me, yet they look at my life as a shambles. That's a lie. That's a living lie. That's a walking lie. That's a curse. That's a cursed one that has to stand up like that and make those kind of claims. But God, hallelujah, I'm going to say, I forgive you. I'm going to ask for forgiveness. If it's one person, I don't need a long conversation. I don't need a lot of hellos and goodbyes. Just a phone call, even a letter will do, to say, I forgive you. The rat I claim you were, I'm that too. I forgive you. Bible says no one, not one, doeth good. Today's saint is tomorrow's killer. So how can we judge? Just let it go. And when you let it go, all your problems are going to go. Try it. You'll see that it's true. Just let go of all of that resentment and bitterness. Yes, they weren't any good. Yes, they lied on you. Yes, they stole from you. Yes, they treated you like a dog when you should have been treated like God himself. Forget it. You're alive right now to take one day at a time to make things in your life better. And that's what this conversation is about. If theirs get better, fine. If it don't, fine. But you're going to make up in your mind to follow these steps so that you can get out of the mess. You're the one sitting in the mess. Now it's your turn to get up out of the mess, and you can do it. The next step we can take to get out of the mess is don't create it. You know, there's an old saying, if you don't start nothing, it won't be nothing. So we've got to ask the Holy Ghost to help us lead a God-filled life. When people are not living a God-filled life, they're opening themselves up to any kind of conduct, any kind of people coming into their life, any kind of situation starting in their life, any kind of circumstances brewing behind the scenes in their life. So when we make up our mind that we're going to lead a God-filled life, Satan can't touch us. Now, he can come around and cause some agitation. He can cause our enemies to rise up. But when we make up in our heart and mind that we're going to lead a God-filled life and show it, tell mama, daddy, sister, brother, your kids, hey, I don't care what you clowns do. But I'm going after God for real this time. Oh, yeah, you said it. Yeah, you ain't even in church. It doesn't matter. Make up in your heart and soul that this time around, I'm going to lead a God-filled life. And what's a God-filled life? Number one, it's a life of prayer. It's a life of doing good for others. It's a life of leaving off of dead works. It's a life from running away from anything that looks like it's evil. The Bible says shun even the appearance of evil. Those are some of the ways you can lead a God-filled life. You can pray more. Yes, it might seem like you're just talking in the thin air, but I guarantee you, somebody's listening. You know, we're surrounded by spiritual beings. Whole universe, spiritual beings. The Bible says millions of legions of angels were created. We're surrounded. So somebody's listening to something, and if whatever you're saying is going to make sense, God is going to hear you, and he's going to respond. He says, even the hairs on your head, he knows and is counted. So we need to make up our mind if we want to get out of chaotic situations, bad breaks, bad relationships. When these elemental people see that you're leading a godly life, they're going to flee from you like the devil himself. When they see you're not going to bite at their way of life, you're not going to bite at following them into dens of sin, you're not going to bite at any recommendations to cross your neighbor, cross your boss, they're going to get away from you. You sure will see some miracles then when you make up your mind and make up your life that you're going to lead a God-filled life. Some of this chaos and bad luck is going to fall out of your life. Number seven, whatever you can do to make someone else's life better, get your heels to clicking. You're having bad luck, bad breaks. When people see you coming with good in your heart and hands, all evil is going to have to step aside. The Bible says, conquer the evil with the good. So you got all these bad breaks and bad luck running through your life, your household, bad relationships. You get rid of one. Here's three more standing at your door. Make up your mind to lead that God-filled life and watch what happens. Start finding someone to do something good for. Who's broke? Who's hungry? Who's almost clotheless? Who's almost shoeless? Who needs a job? Who needs a handshake? Who needs a hug? Who needs a pat on the back? When we go out of our way to do good for others, you would have to do this. Because if you're leading a God-filled life, then you are on a commission to do good for others. You are commissioned to let your light shine for the good in the lives of others. So, since the Bible says we are a brother's keeper, we're going to make sure every waking moment, no matter what's happening in our lives, we're going to get up and get out of there. We're going to get out and find someone to do good for. Number eight, we're going to say yes to God. Period. Yes to God. Anything going on in our life, we're just going to say yes to God. Say, you know, I think you're there. I see the good going on in everybody else's life, but I'm going to say yes to you. I'm going to say yes. I'm living, I'm breathing, I'm eating, I'm drinking. I'm going to say yes to you. Yes to you, God. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. I've said no by my attitude. I've said no by my behavior. I've said no by the friends and company that I've kept, even though you said he who seeks to be a friend of the world is an enemy of mine. I'm going to say yes. I don't know why all these bills have piled up, but I'm going to say yes to you. I don't know what I'm going to eat for dinner, but I'm going to say yes to you. I don't know where my son is right now, but I'm going to say hallelujah, yes to you. I don't know why I'm overdrawn in the bank, but I'm going to say yes to you. I don't know why every step I take, it looks like it's in the wrong direction, but I'm going to say yes to you. I don't know why everything looks chaotic in my life, but I'm going to say yes to you. I don't know why everybody around me seems to be doing good and I'm scuffling, struggling, feeling ugly, looking ugly. I'm going to say yes to you. I don't know why my health is bad, stomach bloated, stomach big. Every time I look up, a tooth is falling out. I'm going to say yes to you, God, in the name of Jesus.
I don't know where this hell has been coming from. I don't know if I'm going to get out of hell today, but I'm going to say yes to you. I'm going to say yes, because when I say yes to you, it means I'm trusting you. All the things people are saying about you, that you're dead, that you really don't care, you have nothing to do with humans on earth, I'm going to say yes to you. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to trust you. If I have to sit here in sackcloth and ashes, I'm going to say yes to you. I've been running the opposite direction, but I'm going to stop, look, and listen. And while I'm listening, I'm going to say yes to your will, yes to your way. I'm going to say, I don't care what the world's going to do. I don't care what it's doing, but I'm going to say yes, God, yes, in the name of Jesus, yes. Whatever bad habits I have, stop them. You claim you got the power, stop them. You made me, you created me, you know all about me. I'm going to say yes. You got all the power, give me some of that power so I can walk in your way and serve you all the better. But I'm telling you, I'm warning you, I'm putting you on notice. I'm going to say yes to you, yes to God. Number nine, I'm going to find a Bible-based church. Yes, they're closing down. Yes, they're shutting down. But you said, I'm not supposed to forsake the assembling of myself together with your saints. I am going to find some place to worship. If I don't do nothing but sit in there and just hold up one hand, that's what I'm going to do. And 10, I'm going to beg you to teach me to love you. I'm going to beg you, God, hallelujah, because where love is, there's no fear. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you to teach me to love you. How can I teach you? By surrendering my life. I surrender my life to you. Teach me, God, to love you. Teach me to worship you. Teach me to praise you. Teach me to glorify your name. Teach me. If you teach me, I'm going to have a right mind and I'm going to stay in my regulated mind to worship you all the more. You said we're created to worship you. Teach me how to do it. Teach me. And Satan is going to leave me alone. You know, the Dr. Cupertino Hour for Power Show is an operation to give you power. Ain't no need of running to the bank. Ain't no need of running across town trying to beg for a new mate. Ain't no need of walking out in $5,000, $10,000 worth of clothes, all them designer jackets, thinking you're something, thinking we're something, and we're not without God. You've learned now how to hold on to God's unchanging hand. And next week, we're going to have something very interesting for the children. So tune on in. We're going to find out how tomorrow's villains against God started off as children yesterday. If you have any questions, please call 424-634-9615 or email me at mothernature7@gmail.com. That's mothernature7@gmail.com. And in the meantime, tell Satan to get thee behind you, because you know God is here, because he's going to teach you. You're going to say yes to him, and most of all, you're going to sit down and wait on God. See you next week, same time, 8 a.m. next Saturday, on the Hour for Power, Dr. Cupertino Show.